Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Want to wish everybody a very happy trade deadline eve. We're almost there. And we'll get to all of it over the course of the next 4.5 hours. All the rumors, all the craziness, what the Yankees should do, what the Yankees have done, what the Mets should do. We'll mix in some football as well. Let me congratulate Mr. Giant himself, Tiki Barber, now doing pre and post. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you, my friend. I'm excited to be back in the Giant family.
I got a lot of questions about this. Like, do you have to travel, or are you, like, able to stay local?
If I want to travel, I can, but I probably will not. We'll be local for the away games and obviously at the game for the home games.
The other question I have is, are you ready to deal with Paul Dottino? I love Pete Dot.
Of course.
But he's intense.
Of course. I love Paul as well.
You're used to Pete. That's right, because he used to probably pester you with questions when you were playing. Well, congratulations. There was a big announcement earlier today that the partnership between the New York Football Giants and WFN, which has been going on forever. I think this partnership began like in the mid-90s. It's been going on for a very long time. It's been extended. It's been continued. And it includes Tiki Barber doing pre and post. So congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to work with Schmelk. Thank Neil A. Shaw. Obviously, thank the Maras and the Tishes for welcoming me back home. So it'll be fun.
Very, very cool. And congrats to the Giants and WFN because it's a wonderful marriage. They've been great partners over the years. The Giants have even treated me well, which is crazy since I'm not a Giant fan, but they always welcome us with open arms, including tomorrow, where we will be giving you a dual trade deadline Giant program on July 31st. We got a great list of guests. I can't wait. We can name a few, I guess. Malik Nabers will join the show. Jackson Dart will join the show. I'm so curious to see what happens when Jackson Dart comes over. He's a few feet away from us. You're a professional.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a professional. And Sean takes his shirt off and start whispering sweet nothings into young Jackson Dart's ear. You going to be okay, Sean?
I am going to stop off at Victoria's Secret tonight. That's a big plan of mine, but I'm very excited to meet Jackson Dart.
Yeah, it'll be very cool. So we'll be out there tomorrow, regular time, 2 o'clock, a lot of Giants, a lot of trade deadline. Before we get to the trade deadline stuff, last night was so weird because the Yankees won, and that's the headline. Great, they won. Mm-hmm. They needed that victory. It was dicey. But they got a huge victory that they needed to get against the Tampa Bay Rays. They also got help because the Toronto Blue Jays are skidding right now. And so the Yankees were able to gain ground. And we'll keep you posted on the Blue Jays. They're in Baltimore right now, and they're tied at 3. So there's a chance the Blue Jays may lose again, and the Yankees have another opportunity to gain ground. But what I found weird was the Volpe situation. And that has been a big topic around here at WFN, and rightfully so. And I thought last night was the biggest contradiction of them all because he hit. And that's great. And there are times throughout Anthony Volpe's career we've seen it where he can hit.
Of course.
And we saw him hit a grand slam in the World Series last year.
And he smashed one last night.
Dude, his longest home run of his career. And his offensive numbers are pretty much on par with his power being up as to what he's done the last couple of years. The offense has not been the number one issue. The number one issue, and we saw it last night at the beginning and end of this game, and could have cost them this game, is his defense. And it's a concern.
Yeah, it's a concern because it's not, I don't think it's a physical thing at all. Maybe it is, actually. Sean keeps bringing up this injury that happened, what was that, May?
Kentucky Derby Day.
The Kentucky Derby Day, that's right. It's now seared in Sean's head that he calls every day Kentucky Derby Day when he's hosting and you're out, Evan. But like maybe that's what it is. It is a physical thing because to me, that last error where he short hopped it over to Goldie at first base and potentially put the victory in jeopardy. Devin Williams luckily got out of it, but it felt like he was thinking, he was overthinking routine ground ball, easy throw to first. Let me clutch, double clutch, and then I'm gonna like short arm it and throw it. Like it was mental. It wasn't physical. It felt like it was mental to me. He was unsure of what he should do in that situation. And in the post game, which I was listening to, they talked about how as a shortstop, that's not like 99 out of 100 you'd make. That's 100 out of 100 play you make. You don't even have to think about it. It's routine. It's rote. It's ingrained in your mind and your psyche, physicality, everything as a shortstop. And for whatever reason, Anthony Volpe has lost that. And how do you get it back? I don't know. You send him down? Do you make him take extra practice? Do you hope that it goes away? I think this is why Aaron Boone is just mindlessly and blindly supporting him because he doesn't know what to do to fix it.
Well, there's no easy answer, which we have to try to figure out. And certainly the manager has to figure out, but I've been thinking about it. It's been discussed on this station. Mm-hmm. I heard Sal earlier today push the drum for sending him down to the minor leagues. Here's what I know before we decide what to do next. Despite him contributing offensively last night, that kind of issue defensively cannot last.
No.
You cannot be that kind of liability at such an important defensive position. And the only way you could even think about playing a guy every day who's a defensive liability is if they're going to over kind of contribute offensively.
Right, which he did last night.
Well, that's one night. I mean, overall, Anthony Volpe has now written the script of his major league career. He's been in the major leagues for 3 years. He mm-hmm. basically plays every day, and he is what he is. He's a 220 hitter. He hits for some pop. He can run, and he's got a sub-700 OPS, which if you took those numbers and you combine it with Gold Glove defense, you'd say, okay, fine.
Sounds like a shortstop from the early 90s.
Sure. Like, that's a playable player. Yes. But his defense right now, especially what happened last night, even on a night where he contributed offensively, is making him unplayable. Because even though the Yankees won last night, they won despite the defensive issues.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine what you would be saying as a Yankee fan last night and today if Devin Williams didn't bail him out. Because Anthony Volpe set up what could have been a horrific Yankee meltdown. And one thing we know about the postseason, because we've lived it and we've breathed it, is you cannot give opponents extra outs. So despite what he did offensively, the first thing we need to do as baseball fans, as Yankee fans who are listening, is we have to understand that as a problem. We can't just whitewash it because they won last night and Volpe hit a home run. This is a problem.
I think more importantly, Evan, not us, not sports radio, not New York Yankee fans, I think Brian Cashman and Jeff and Aaron Boone need to figure out that this is a problem.
Well, okay.
Need to acknowledge that it's a problem. Also, maybe Anthony Volpe needs to acknowledge it's a problem. I don't know if we've heard him talk about some of these issues. He's got 15 errors, which is not only the most in shortstop, it's the most in Major League Baseball.
Yes.
Right now.
Well, okay, so you say Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone have to understand there's an issue. I think Brian Cashman has already done it. Because to me... By adding Ahmed Rosario, who can play shortstop.
Yes.
That's what he grew up playing. That's his natural position. To Ahmed Rosario's credit, once it was kind of announced by the Cleveland Guardians, or the Cleveland Indians at the time, he ain't the answer at shortstop. Ahmed Rosario has prolonged his major league career and made him a useful utility player because he plays the outfield, he plays third base, and he plays second base. But he's a shortstop. Ahmed Rosario needs to be in the mix at shortstop. So, Brian Cashman acquiring him, which I thought was a really keen move a few days ago, was step number one. Because 2 weeks ago, when we would have these conversations, I would say, well, there's no one else.
Yep.
Oswald Peraza's hitting 150, and he's already playing third base. They don't have other options. You want to call up Andrew Velasquez from AAA? Like, they don't have other options. They now have other options. So I'm exonerating general manager Brian Cashman. I am. Because he went out and did his job. The question is, when will Aaron Boone do his? Because... In my opinion, sending him down, sure, you can do it. It's been made. The case has been made over the last couple of weeks. I heard our dear friend Sal arguing it today. I get it. I wouldn't do it. What I would do first is say, you're not the everyday shortstop. Now, if you hit and you defend, will you be the everyday shortstop? Sure. But I have another option on this team. And so step number one, and I don't understand why it hasn't happened, and it should happen, but it doesn't seem like this manager is interested in it happening, is letting Anthony Volpe know we love you, we support you. If you defend and you hit, you'll play. But for now, the splits at shortstop, instead of it being 100% you, 0% everybody else, it's going to be 60-40. And based on performance and based on success, you'll either... play more,
yep,
or you'll play less. I said this before they sent Alvarez down the Mets side. I said, listen, Luis Torrens should play more. Let's start with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Mets went to the extreme level. They eventually sent Francisco down.
Yep.
I wasn't in favor of that, my opinion. I'm not in favor of sending Anthony Volpe down. I'm in favor of saying you are no longer the 98% shortstop, and he has been. He has only sat three times this season. He barely sat last season. So this hasn't even been tried. We haven't seen the Yankees sit Anthony Volpe. It hasn't happened. You're going to pick the one random day they did it? They haven't done it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it wasn't for performance. He was sat down to rest.
Right.
It wasn't because he was bad or leading the league in errors. It was because they felt like he needed an off day.
And I'm not even doing it based on that. I'm doing it based on I have a guy on this roster who I think can still play the position, mm-hmm. even if he hasn't played a lot of it the last few years. But
played
he came
a little
up a
bit
short
of it last year. Hasn't played it consistently since 2023.
Well, 2023 isn't 30 years ago.
Exactly.
And Ahmed Rosario's 28 years old. He's in his prime. He can play the position. I watched him play the position. Like, a lot of us did. He was a shortstop for the Mets. And while he was ultimately a failed prospect,
mm-hmm.
he can play the position. And right now, you can't argue with me that he wouldn't play the position better than Anthony Volpe. Because Anthony Volpe's a liability. Anthony Volpe almost cost them the game. He sandwiched last night's game with two defensive plays that cannot happen.
Mm.
So let us start, I think, with what is the most simple thing. You have a shortstop on the roster, start playing him more.
Yeah, make him earn it. Make Anthony Volpe earn the time to play. Because the emotion that I can imagine he's going through, even though he doesn't show it, you don't see it very frequently when he makes bad defensive plays. You see it when he hit a 450-foot home run. His face was beaming. He was happy. He could smile. He's joking around. Felt like a weight was lifted off his shoulders. But the emotion that he feels doesn't seem to project something's wrong here. We have that emotion. And it's interesting. I don't know if Sean felt this way after the game, but I was so ready to be irate and scream and yell when we got on air today about Anthony Volpe. Even if they won, but the save was blown, and instead of the save, Devin Williams gets the win because the Yankees come back and they do something in the ninth inning. We were ready to explode on him, but then Devin Williams gets out of the inning, closes the game, saves it, and it's kind of like, good, I can save that.
Yeah, no, you were
that's
just relieved.
What it felt like it was like relief that I didn't have to go lambast him.
You wanted to, but
right.
Also, you're caught in this spot where we've been complaining about Volpe for so long, but the Yankees just needed a damn win.
Right.
So that took the priority postgame. Definitely.
Well, I think those two things can be separated. Like, they won a game last night. It was very important. And I'll even give Volpe his credit for contributing to the offense. Like, the offense is a question with King Aaron Judge out, and the Yankees went out and scored 7 runs.
By the way, careful. We did it like 30 times yesterday.
What do you mean?
Aaron Judge without the King.
I know.
At least 30.
No, I have the exact numbers, by the way. I have set records over the last few days in how much money I owe for not calling him King Judge.
Yes.
That's why right off the top I wanted to say it right. But Anthony Volpe deserves credit for being a part of the offense and what they accomplished. But
no, he doesn't, by the way.
Well, no, he does. He had an RBI single and he had a home run. Like, that happened.
They were down 2-0 because he can't field the position. All he did was offset those errors.
No, I understand. I get that his defense stinks.
Oh, so it's a net zero for him.
That's all I'm saying.
That's fine.
You want to throw flowers that he had a big home run and he contributed offensively, so that's fine. He's the reason they were down 2-0 and trailing to begin with.
I understand that and I agree with that. I'm merely saying I'll give him credit for the fact that he hit, even if you want to say it got counterbalanced by his defense. But this can't continue. Like, there are certain things, even when you win a baseball game, where you're happy your team won, but you say, this has to stop.
Yep.
Like in the Mets case, it's not hitting with runners in scoring position. Mm-hmm. It's got to stop. It will eventually kill them. Well, the Yankee defense, specifically led by Anthony Volpe, has to stop. It can't continue. And it almost cost them last night's game on both accounts with what happened early and what happened late. So the question is, what do you do about it? My answer is, you just acquired a shortstop. Play him. They don't even talk about Ahmed Rosario as a shortstop. And listen to this. I want to play you a couple of clips because I did think what Volpe said last night and what Boone said last night are very interesting. But this one clip I want to play now was when Aaron Boone was asked directly about sitting Anthony Volpe, the case I'm making right now. Not to send him down, not to throw him away, but just sit him. Now, I want you to hear the question. It isn't the exact way I would phrase it because to me it's not about a mental break. That's not what it's about. To a lot of people, it is. To me, it's, I got another option, bro. Until you defend better, until you prove that you deserve to play more, I'm going to use my other option.
Right.
So it wasn't framed that way. But listen to the question and listen to Boone's terse response.
There have been times in past years where you've sat down a guy for a couple of days to give him a mental break. Have you thought about that with Volpe or someone like that who plays every day? Can it help him or can it hurt him just sitting there thinking about it for 18 innings or so?
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to answer that now. We just ended the game.
Now, there are two things that could have happened here on Aaron's answer. Number one, he hates the reporter. I do want to include that as a possibility.
Of course.
Like, he may not like whoever that, I forget the guy's name, Randy something.
Randy Miller.
Randy Miller. Oh, yeah, Randy Miller. You know what? He don't like Randy Miller. Or Aaron Boone is disgusted by the question. And he shouldn't be disgusted by the question because it is a fair question to say. How about you sit Dominguez part of the time? You sit Bellinger part of the time? You sit everybody not named King Judge on this team. Every single person will sit for a day or two, right? And we talk about it on the radio because they have all these great options. You now have an option at shortstop. Why is Anthony Volpe not an option to just sit? And his answer was so terse and so dismissive that I hope he hates the reporter because the question was a fair one.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not going to answer that now.
He's not going to answer it now? Okay, how about tomorrow? How about today? How about the day after?
Well, here's the thing. The thing is, he's had to have thought about it. There's no way that Volpe, who's leading the league in errors right now, is just getting a free pass from Aaron Boone. And if he is getting a free pass, then this is exactly what we've been talking about when it comes to Aaron Boone, creating a culture of non-accountability. That's not acceptable. So I guess not answering it means he didn't want to have the conversation with a reporter if he was potentially about to have this conversation with Anthony Volpe, right? You'd rather have it with the player before you have it with the media, and then the media has it with the player. So I can understand why he doesn't want to talk about this, but at the same time, he's had to have thought about it. He's had to have.
But he hasn't.
Because if he hasn't, then he's not doing his job right.
I agree with you. And what really bothers me about this whole thing is, look at the Yankees. Outside of King Judge, who played every day and now is unfortunately hurt, every single guy on this team sits. Every single right. one. Paul Goldschmidt sits. Cody Bellinger sits. Trent Grisham certainly sits. Jason Dominguez sits. Hey, everybody sits. Right. So it's not sacrilegious to sit a guy. With all of this said, this is going to blow your mind that I need to bring this up, and I think it's very, very important to bring this up in the open, talking about Volpe's defense. Paul Goldschmidt, if you're listening. Goldie, you know I love you. You know I do. We had him on the show in spring training strictly because I love him, and I appreciate what he's done for the game of baseball. With that said, Goldie, you got to scoop that ball, bro. It's a bad throw, and Volpe deserves to be criticized, but good first baseman, and he is one. He's a great first baseman. Makes that play in their sleep. Pete Alonso can close his eyes and make that play. Mark Teixeira back in the day would put that baby in his back pocket. If it's Ben Rice not making the scoop, which we've seen, fine, it's Ben Rice. He's not really a first baseman. Paul Goldschmidt, and I love you, bro, you need to start bailing your guys out. That's a part of being a good scooping first baseman. It's a part of why I have a podcast named Rico Bronya, because he'd bail everybody out.
Right.
So while Anthony Volpe deserves the criticisms he's facing right now, I do need to call out my dear, dear friend Paul Goldschmidt. Be better. Simple as that. Just be better. Now, we'll get your calls about this, as well as the Mets, who get set to play in a couple hours, the latest on Juan Soto, and other things Aaron Boone said after last night's game that actually should encourage you. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. That is the toll-free number on this trade deadline eve. A couple of things before we get to your calls. Number one, Yankees did make a minor trade earlier today for Austin Slater, a right-handed outfielder from the Chicago White Sox. I don't think you should look into this as meaning anything. Like, they're going to trade Trent Grisham or Aaron Judge is more hurt than they're letting on. I think it's simply the Yankees could use a bat that hits left-handed pitching. Trent Grisham is a lefty. Jason Dominguez struggles from the right side, even though he's been better recently. It just gives him another option. It's a nice depth piece for the New York Yankees. So small trade, smart trade. They gave up nothing. Professional right-handed bat who plays the outfield. I don't think it means anything such as Grisham's being traded or Judge's more hurt than they're letting on.
Just to add on to that, though, the obvious move that everybody's expecting is Peraza will not be here. Mm-hmm. So if Peraza's not going to be here, there goes your excuse that Rosario can't play short. You know, he immediately becomes that guy to play for Volpe.
I view him right now as that guy.
Right. So we go from 3 days ago, maybe in a pinch, to he may be the only guy who can play short.
Oswald Peraza right now has no use on this team. And the only reason he is still on this roster is because he's out of options. And there's something very difficult about DFAing a former prospect. It's very difficult to do. I've never done it. I'm not a GM, but I can imagine when you have a guy who's a prospect for so long, you've committed so many resources and time and money, and now the way you get rid of him is designating him for assignment. Like, I think Brian Cashman needs a shot of... I'm joking.
No, you're right.
It's like when Tommy releases a guy he drafted high in fantasy. Like, you finally do it. I have the same problem. It's like, I can't do this. I drafted him so high.
Or trade him.
Well, no, when you trade him, you get something back. It's easy to rationalize.
But sometimes not good enough. You don't know what you're getting back.
Though. It may not be good enough, but when you get something back, at least you got something back. The day the Yankees decide to send down, quote-unquote, Oswald Peraza, they're DFAing him, and he's gone. And that's it. And all those years that you worked hard to develop him, it's just out the window. The other thing is, Aaron Boone in postgames likes to defend his players. I want to play you a clip from last night. He's asked from Meredith Marakovich one of the early questions about Anthony Volpe's struggles, and you could hear the frustration in Aaron Boone's voice. And I direct that frustration at Anthony Volpe. Like, it was one of the early times, one of the first times this year, I sensed Aaron Boone losing his patience with the Yankee shortstop. Take a listen. Tell me if you feel the same way.
With Volpe, he had two big at-bats there on the offensive end, but obviously the errors. Do you think that's becoming a little bit mental?
Yeah, I mean, we got to get over it. You know, we got to get through it. You know, one thing for certain, he's really, really good out there, and he's clearly had some struggles and, you know, a little indecisive with that last throw, like, you know, and not that, you know, it's a short hop there, but, you know, we can't be indecisive there, and he'll get through it. You know, but obviously there's been some tough moments here, and you know, but for a very talented defender, he will get through it, and we got to get him there.
You can.
That was mostly okay.
It ended like Aaron Boone was back to being the pom-pom guy.
Yeah,
but it started with he's pissed.
Well,
it's frustrating.
You know what I would have liked him to say? We know that Anthony Volpe is a really good, sometimes great shortstop, but right now he sucks. And we got to get that fixed. And I don't know if it's mental. I don't know if it's a physical issue, but it's unacceptable for him the way he's playing. And he knows that. We all know that. And we'll get it worked on. Like, just acknowledge. Tell us what we're watching.
Right.
I think part of the time with Aaron Boone, he's talking to us as if we don't see it.
But he started, though, like, I feel you, bro.
He did.
But he started with that pain.
He came back to the same, I guess it's because it was Meredith and he knows her well and it's not a gotcha moment.
Right.
You know? So he's just looser. But everybody else who asks the same question, he's going to get, he's fine. He's nothing to look at here. And that's not okay.
There is clearly something to look at.
Yes.
You could say all day they got to get through it. To me, the way to get through it is to not commit to him as the everyday shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
You've got other options on this roster, and that's what Aaron Boone needs to start doing immediately. Jerry is in Comac. Good afternoon today, Jerry.
Evan, you're totally wrong, Evan. That's why you're a sports announcer, not a manager.
Well, there's a few reasons for that, bro.
Volpe's a winner. He's been a winner his whole life.
Right.
Six home runs since the All-Star break. He was a Gold Glove fielder. He just hit the ball 452 feet, and he had two hits yesterday, all positive. The guy works really hard, and I think he's playing a little hurt, to be honest with you.
Well, okay. Maybe that is it, but he had two errors.
Jumping on him, and you shouldn't be. And what two errors? Goldschmidt looked like he was sleeping there. You and I could have scooped that up. That was a joke. That was no
but
error.
But you have to admit. No, it is. Jerry, a couple things. I called out Goldie, so I'm with you. He should have made the play.
Yes.
With that said, he bounced the throw, and his defense has been a problem all year. Do you not agree with that?
His defense. Yes, he hasn't been as good as he was last year.
No. He's a liability. But Jerry, and I don't know.
No, he's not a liability.
Yes, he is.
He's not a liability. In that clubhouse, he's far from a liability.
I don't care what the clubhouse says. You watch them every day. His defense has become a liability, which is why I give him credit for what he did offensively. I'm not ignoring it, but you can't do that at shortstop and be out there every day.
Mm-hmm.
He's leading the world in errors. He had two more last night. Come on now.
Did Jerry just lie to Tommy? Is he really from Jersey and he's part of the Volpe family that's for calling and protecting him? He's leading the American League in errors, Jerry. He's not a liability, Jerry. He's leading the AL in errors. And last night, if Max Fried didn't finally become the Max Fried we saw early in the year.
Right, after tough couple of firsts.
Yeah.
Right.
He screwed Max Fried the day. He couldn't make a simple flip. And the idea, Goldie should have made the scoop. he triple and quadruple clutched a ball and couldn't figure out what he was doing. I mean, what are we talking about? He's not a liability.
And that's to end the game, by
yes!
the way.
That, yes!
That ends the game. Game over.
Could you
routine
imagine?
Routine grounder to short. There's nothing freaky about it. It's not bouncing the wrong way. He didn't have to short hop it. It didn't, like, clip off his glove. Perfect in his glove. Just get it out of your hand and get it to first base. You've made this throw probably 20,000 times in your life.
If Devin Williams misses a pitch by an inch after that, Anthony Volpe is singularly responsible last night for four runs given up. Thinking about that.
I understand.
The pitching bailed him out greatly. The idea that he's not a liability. Jerry, either you're part of the Volpe family that's still trying to protect him, or you're not watching the games.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I think it's very well said.
People look at the offensive statistics, and because 15 home runs for a shortstop, it's a good number.
Sure.
He's going to have 20-plus home runs when the season's all said and done. But that's not what we're talking about, despite his average being and his OPS being sub what we expected it to be. But who cares? That is what it is. His the consistent, the certainty is not there, and that's his defense.
Anthony Volpe, if and I know this is tough because he was a top prospect, but if his career is what his numbers have shown us, which is a 225 hitter, a 670 OPS, but pretty good pop, like 15 to 20 home runs. He already has 15. If those are his numbers and you're doing it with the Gold Glove defense we saw his rookie year, that is an acceptable everyday shortstop. Right. Not saying he's a star, not saying he lived up to your expectations, but you can live with that. What has changed is not his offense. Because again, his OPS right now is higher than it was last year or the year before. Still not great, but it's higher. The problem is the consistent defense, especially at that position. Shortstop is an incredibly important defensive position.
Right.
And right now, for whatever reason, and you've got plentiful different reasons for it. Sean's brought up the injury. Whether it's mental, I don't know. All I know is the results, and the results are not good enough. Let's go to Jason in Montgomery, New York. What's up today, Jason?
Hey, what's going on, Evan? What's going on, guys?
Good.
Good God. That first caller, was that Rudy calling up the fan trying to defend Volpe?
Right.
That's something. I just wanted to bring up 2 points. First on Volpe. It is Volpe because, you know, he's got the 15 errors. But, Evan, you mentioned the Goldschmidt scoop. It's really everybody on defensive-wise. This is just not a good defensive team. Even that throw by McMahon yesterday, I thought that was going right over Chisholm's head.
Right,
like Chisholm
right.
Had to leap up
luckily, he caught it catch. And got the out and got his foot down to get the out.
Right, right. Yeah, he barely got it. I thought he would be safe. But, yeah, that was just a crazy play. And then the other point I wanted to bring up was so with Emmanuel Clase on the on that, you know, temporary, like he's right now, he's just out of the league. Do you think it would be wise for the Yankees to see what you can get back for Devin Williams since he's not here next year? Like, can you see them getting a nice haul for?
I think they would do very well. I think they would do very well for Devin Williams, but I'm in the business of winning. And that's what I would be thinking.
And the Yankees are always in the business of winning.
Yeah,
and no matter what we think about their current state of the season, they're still trying to win it.
And if you eliminate your best reliever, or at least one of your best relievers, and that's already a need that you want Brian Cashman to address at the trade deadline, you are making your team worse. Really what the Yankees are trying to do, and I am surprised that it's gotten to this level, but I'm excited. According to multiple reports, it sounds like Minnesota's going to trade Jan Duran today or tomorrow before the trade deadline. And I've made it clear that that's the kind of piece that would really excite me as a Met fan. Now, in the case of the New York Yankees, here's why it would excite me maybe even more. Maybe even more. Because, A, you need bullpen help. You already have two and a half guys you trust in Devin Williams, Luke Weaver, and partially Timmy Hill.
Right.
But Duran is signed for the next couple of years.
Right.
Devin Williams is a free agent. Luke Weaver is a free agent. You would be acquiring not just a great arm for your bullpen this year, you'd be locking down the closer's role for the next half a decade.
Well, I mean, it's the 7, 8, 9 guy. Those are the most important players once you start to get deep into the season and most importantly into the postseason. When you have a lead, your offense does its job, your starting pitcher does its job, and you need to cover 9 outs. If you go get Duran right now, it is Luke, or probably Luke. Luke, Duran, Devin Williams.
Yeah. Well, you got it backwards. Durant will close, but sure.
Right.
We'll go with it.
Whatever. Right.
It doesn't
now.
Matter.
It doesn't matter.
But no, that would be superb, bro.
Right.
So from a short-term perspective, the Yankees would be adding the best reliever on the market. And from a long-term perspective, he's under team control for multiple years. And so the pressure of re-signing Devin Williams or Luke Weaver goes away. Here's the real question that I have to answer as a Met fan, and we all have to answer as Yankee fans. How far you want to go? Like, the Twins are not giving him away. This is a controllable reliever. Remember what the Mariners got for Edwin Diaz 6 years ago.
I don't remember. Tell me.
Jared Kelnick, who at the time was a huge prospect. And that was the Mets taking on a bad contract and Robbie Cano.
That was it? Just a prospect?
Well, there was a lot of money involved because it took Cano's deal.
Right, right.
But yeah, but not just any prospect. That was a top, top prospect.
Right, so are you willing to give, who would that be for you? Jet or Benj?
Like, you talking about my son right now?
No.
Oh, Jet Williams?
Jet Williams.
I mean, I love Durant. I'm not trading my son for him. I'll trade my firstborn for a closer?
What if I guaranteed that you'd win a championship?
That sucks.
Stop it. Never. Never can't trade my kids for anything.
But you know what I mean. So Jet Williams or Benj or whoever it may be. Like, who is it that would you'd be willing to part with to get this guy to pair along? It's different for the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it gives you insurance if Edwin Diaz leaves.
Correct.
You have Edwin Diaz.
Correct.
So it doesn't feel
it's similar, but
necessary for right now and for next
year.
Well,
I think it's actually similar because even though the Met fan has more of a connection to Diaz and the Yankee fan has to Devin or Luke Weaver, all three are going to be free agents. Like, Edwin Diaz is going to opt out. And so Weaver and Williams are free agents. So
doesn't he have one of the highest closer contracts in baseball?
Yeah, but there's only a few years left on it. And considering what Josh Hader got paid, he could do better. It's good business for him to opt out.
Yeah.
Get a long deal before that salary cap comes through.
Maybe.
There is no salary cap.
No, or get a long-term deal before, you're older. But how far would I go? I'd give up a top prospect. Mm. Like, one of my top 100s. Would I trade Mark Vientos? We've had a lot of discussions about Mark Vientos lately, and I love Mark Vientos. I don't want to trade him. For Yan Duran, I would. Now, on the Yankee side of things, we'll make things interesting. You're trading Jason Dominguez for him.
No.
You're not. Okay. You're trading Spencer Jones for him.
No.
Wow. Last year, you wanted to trade Spencer Jones for Tanner Scott, and he was a rental. This guy's not a rental.
I also believed in last year's Yankees more than these years.
Yeah, but you'd be getting... I get that, Sean, but you're getting Duran for multiple years.
What about George Lombard?
I would trade George Lombard.
Hmm. Oh, wow. So you trade Lombard before you trade Spencer
and
Jones?
And I know
even though he could be the replacement for Volpe?
I know this is so stupid. So, and most things that come out of my mouth are stupid. I have so many scars about all these failed infield prospects. I view Spencer Jones now, maybe he's Judge. I view George Lombard as he could easily turn into Peraza. So I know that doesn't make sense, but that is the Yankees' track record with developing those positions.
Here's the thing about trading prospects, okay? They could turn into nothing.
Yes.
Or they could turn into Pete Crow Armstrong.
Sure. Happy anniversary, by the way.
And is this the anniversary of that trade?
Yes.
And it was funny, I didn't hate that trade when it happened. I liked Javi Baez. I thought it was a really good addition, and who knew PCA would become a superstar? But that's the risk you run into. What I love about Duran is that I think closers or relievers in general are lottery tickets. They're very up and down.
Yeah.
Duran's career has been in the majors for 4 years. He's been mostly really consistent and really good, and that gives me more protection than any other reliever I acquire, where when you acquire a reliever, they may turn out to be a lot better than what their record says. They could turn out to be a lot worse. And I think Duran is a safer bet than any other reliever you could have.
And whether he goes to the Mets or the Yankees, I just want him to get to New York so Evan can learn how to say his name because he's been Jan and Johan. It's Johan.
It's Johan.
No.
Johan?
It's Y. Pronunciation.
You got me.
Y-O. Well, it's spelled J-H-O-U-O-A-N.
Johan?
But the pronunciation is
Johan.
On. Y-O and then on.
Where is he from?
He is from the Dominican Republic. So it's Johan Duran.
I know him as Johan Duran.
Well, you're wrong. Well,
or no O, just Johan.
It's Johan or Johan.
Do you know him personally to know how to say his name right? I always thought it was Johan Duran.
No, the easiest way to settle this is just go old school WFN. The kid from Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, he kept going Duran because he was...
I don't know, this J-H guy, Duran, how do you say his name?
Well, the spelling is so awesome. J-H-O-A-N. Yeah. But it's not Johan. Like, we think because it's close to Johan, but it's not. And remember, Johan was in Minnesota before he came to New York.
Where are you seeing the pronunciation on this?
Baseball Reference has all of them.
Yeah, but...
You don't trust Baseball Reference?
I don't. The NFL does this cool thing with their teams. They have the player say his name. like on their website, like the team websites. It has every, because, I mean, there's so many crazy names.
Right.
And a lot of them are now African names, even if they're, whether they were born in the United States or born in London or whatever, they're from African descent. You have no idea how to say their names.
I'm going
to
tell you.
You just get the kid to say his name.
Here's the problem with that. I'm gonna find a flaw. And I could look into the archives of WFAN to find this, but years and years ago, do you remember when the Knicks drafted a young, in fact, I'm going to make Loogie say his name. Hey, Tommy, remember the French point guard you guys drafted?
Yes.
What was his name?
The one we just drafted?
No, years ago.
His first name was Frank.
Frank Ntilikina.
Okay, Frank Ntilikina.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When he got drafted, I heard him pronounce his name.
And what did he say?
He did not pronounce it that way. He said Ntilikina. Okay? Hold on. So he calls himself that. I come on the radio,
Ntilikina.
And I'm the smart guy. I'm like, let me correct all these idiots on WFAN. Mike doesn't know what he's talking about. Carton doesn't know what he's talking about. Boomer doesn't know what he's talking about. Joe's like, I don't know how to say his name. He's a French guy, bro. And I, for 3 years, pronounced it the way Frank pronounced it. Finally, after all these years, Mike Breen's calling him Ntilikina. Everybody's calling him Ntilikina. I'm like, but Frank called him something else. And then I heard him, Frank, call himself Ntilikina. And I'm like, you lying son of a bee. Like, I don't know if he got bullied into just calling it the way everyone else did, but I followed his pronunciation from draft day, and then he changed it. So I'm done listening to pronunciations because they lie to you.
Tyrod Taylor thing. He gave in and just started calling himself Tyrod.
Oh, we asked.
Yeah.
Tyrod.
Yeah.
How he's pronounced this last year.
Right.
And he said, it's Tyrod. But everybody says Tyrod, so I just kind of
accepted it.
And
the Kelseys are Kels.
Kels, right.
But they go by Kelsey because everybody just says that. So but then it's a Sade Sade kind of situation where you're just trying
Sade,
to be.
Sade, come on.
That's what I'm saying. But she says Sade or said Sade, but it's spelled Sade.
So who are we supposed to trust? The player, what most people do, baseball references, pronunciation.
Do we trust twin announcers? I'm going to try to grab a highlight. Oh, you don't?
I would trust him.
Every time. Okay, then.
AI says, Joe. Like,
so what Tommy said?
Joe-on.
But yeah, baseball reference says, Yo-on. By the way, if he's not a Yankee or Met, why are we wasting our time?
Well, if he's a Philly, we may mention his name.
Nah, it doesn't matter.
Or a Blue Jay. I don't know if he's close.
No, it's not about not mentioning his name. We've mentioned his name for a while. He's a top closer in baseball in terms of caring about his name is what I mean. Like, at the end of the day, he's Duran. You know? That's all that really matters. But I would want him. I would give up a lot to get him. And if I'm the New York Yankees, I have to strongly consider it.
Is that your way of saying he was traded?
No, but we do have a trade here from Jeff Passan. The Cincinnati Reds are acquiring... This is another name that's a little tricky. Ke'Bryan Hayes from the Pirates.
Oh, wow.
A guy that was probably on the Yankees radar, I would think. Prior to the McMahon trade, of course.
Yeah, the thing about Ke'Bryan Hayes is that he doesn't hit, but his defense is marvelous. Like, he's got some of the best defensive metrics, but he doesn't hit at all. So, there you go. Cincinnati's sort of going for it by upgrading their defense over at third base. Let's go to Tom in Cornwall, New York. What's up, Tom?
Guys, how you doing? I have two quick points. I have one main point. I'm trying to keep my streak going. Are you familiar with the movie Jerry Maguire?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Obviously, one of the all-time greats, yeah.
So, what does Rod Tidwell ask Jerry to show him?
The money.
The
show
quad.
Me the money. Do it again.
Yeah, but then he refers to it as the quan, this is what the Yankees have to get.
Oh God, Tom, you again?
Steven Kwan, baby. Get it done.
I got a question for you.
It looks like he's headed out the door. So
yeah, no, it has gained a lot of steam. Even the Mets are interested in Steven Kwan. Are you willing to move Dominguez or Spencer Jones in a trade for Steven Kwan?
Here's what I would do.
Go.
The answer to that question is partially yes, but I need to get Cade Smith back because he's the same quality arm as Johan Duran.
Yeah, and it's Johan.
I just listened to him say it. Oh, so he says
yes, the Minnesota Twins put it up. Johan.
There you go.
I want to get Cade Smith and I want to get Kwan, and I would give up definitely Dominguez. I'd give up Schittler or Warren and then another prospect, and I think gets it done.
No, I appreciate it. I think that when we've talked about this, because Tom, if you're not familiar, has made a commitment to calling this radio station every day to bang the drum.
And so far, so good.
He's been great. Of Kwan to the Yankees. And he brought it up before it was like the hot rumor that it is now. Mm-hmm. Like it was always on the outskirts of a trade possibility. Right. And now it's the Guardians may deal him before tomorrow. Like yeah. it's absolutely on the table.
Feels like it's going to happen today. People are just wondering where he's positionally going to fit.
Yeah, he's a Gold Glove left fielder. The Mets, in particular, would want him to play center field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Yankees are obviously different in how they would fit him and use him. And I said yesterday, and I'll say it again today, it's going to cost a lot. Like, you got to give up, like, top players who are ready to play, like a Dominguez or Jones. Cade Smith is so young, so team-friendly, and so good that if you are saying, I need him to, dude, the price tag has got to be
right.
high.
Somebody else.
Those aren't guys that the Guardians have to give away. Like, that's the appeal of Kwan and Duran and Smith, that they're not rentals. They're here for a couple of years. It's not just a move for today. It's a move for the next few years. But as much as the Kwan rumors are out there, and you hear the Blue Jays, you hear the Dodgers, you hear the Phillies, you hear the Mets, and with the Mets, it would be to move them to center field, you haven't heard a lot of Yankees. Mm-mm. Because as much as Tom wants him, because of his bat-on-ball skills, he's a left-hand hitting outfielder. And right now, like, they're kind of set.
Right.
So unfortunately, I feel bad for Tom. Because much like Juan Soto, this may all end with him being a Met. The guy calls off begging for Kwan to the Yankees for a week. And then he turns out, yeah, Kwan's a Met. And I'd be interested in Stephen Kwan. It's unknown like how he plays center field. Because yeah. just because you're a Gold Glove left fielder doesn't mean you'd go over center to play it really well. So that's the only question or only concern you would have.
It's just a lot of space if you're not used to it.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
But he's a hell of a player. And I think we're all drawn in by the fact that he just makes a crazy amount of contact
mm-hmm.
in a sport in which contact's gone out the window. We'll get back to your calls in a second. We also have an update on Juan Soto, who is not in the lineup today. But when we come back, we'll hear from the manager of the New York Mets, Carlos Mendoza, regarding Juan Soto and the injury he suffered last night.